May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It seems strange to be putting together a sermon after such a long time away. I'm very grateful to Father David, Graham and Alan for their care for the parish in what, I know, has been a testing time. Rather than dwell on what is testing or trying, I note that today's readings are all problematic and for some may be uncomfortable. So from the outset, I make this observation. I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone else. To be a saint requires one to give witness. The Greek word for giving witness is martyr, and while some may like to hasten my departure, I've decided that I have more life to live for the moment. Thank you very much. In the first reading, which we did not hear read, but we did hear the summary in Psalm 106, it's the story of the golden calf. In the narrative, Moses stands in the breach with God and pleads for forgiveness and a change of heart. You can understand God's anger. Having seen the might and power of God in the deliverance out of Egypt, the people were alarmed at Moses being away. The old joke says Moses came down from the mountain and, seeing the golden calf, broke the tablets and took two of them for his head. The readings during the week included the well-known comedy, Jonah. If you think that God will carry out wrath, then if we are prepared to return to the ways of God, God will change God's mind. Poor Jonah didn't understand that God desires to be with us and we to be his people. Jeremiah was given some rather frightful things to say, including, "You are not my people and I am not your God." Then after a time of repenting, the people who strive with God, Israel, were back in the fold. And this is the good news about God. God accepts us back no matter what we have done. Some of us may see that as being somewhat crazy. Could God take a murderer back into his fold? Could God forgive Hamas and Israel for this disastrous situation unfolding? A famous interview with the late RSL great Bruce Ruxton sticks in my mind. He was asked, what if at their death Hitler, Mussolini and Judas Iscariot repented and they met you at the pearly gates? Would you go in? I can't repeat everything he said, but he basically said, no, that would prove to me there was no God. Well, I would err on the side of believing in a God who welcomes us back into the fold. What we may find is unforgivable, it's the nature of God always to have mercy. In the prayer of humble access, we pray those very words. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. And as we will also pray today, the wonderful post-communion prayer by the former Dean of Adelaide and Melbourne, David Richardson. And he composed that beautiful understanding of God's mercy. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. I decided to include both these prayers in today's Eucharist to help underscore what is in the readings. If we truly repent, then God forgives. If we exclude others due to our prejudice and principles, then what awaits is clearly shown in the gospel story. But first, Let's have a little look at the Philippians 4 reading, and well done, John, on those names. This is not the wonderful, comfortable reading that many first make it out to be. During the week, I did have a chance on Purcell's incredible bell anthem and its joyful setting of the text. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. The only thing, though, is this. It is a rebuke. Two of the female leaders of the community have had a falling out. And Paul, writing from his prison cell, is telling them to be of one mind and not a divided and petulant division. Kaiorete, which the King James Version translates as rejoice, is more a greeting that means be as one, be at peace, be a unity. Be mindful of the presence of God who is near. There is more to be done and achieved in working through things than simply allowing things to continue as they are. Add to this Paul's observation about peace, a much-loved blessing also used in the service today reminds us of the benefits of seeking first a peaceful coexistence. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is by no error that our duties are added to that blessing in the form of dismissal. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. This is a God who, through his Son Jesus, calls us to be a people of unity and peace, at peace, loving and serving. Being as one of us, therefore we should all rejoice. But what do we say about the parable of the wedding feast? Well, it did not end well for one of the people in attendance. The king, whose son's wedding was happening, decided to exclude him. The context is always essential to consider. Having arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus triumphantly and promptly lost it in the market in the temple. And now this is the next day and he's returned to the scene of the chaos. As you can imagine, having turned all the tables upside down and driven people out with leather whips, all eyes were on him. I noted in my reflection for this week that people are now very aware of him, are watching his every move. By the week's end, Jesus would be tried and crucified. There are two versions of this parable in the Bible, and they differ slightly. In Luke's gospel, it's the messianic mission that is highlighted. Go into the streets and lanes and bring the marginalised, the disabled, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the deaf, the dumb and blind. That's very much a Lucan understanding. But in Matthew's gospel, it's into the streets and lanes, but it says bring back the good and bad alike. And if you're wrong to the bone, you're still invited. But what of the one who was excluded? He was invited and was at first welcome. He was, but instead of clothing himself in righteousness and fully entering the wedding feast, he stood out. He became a divisive influence. And in good Matthew fashion, he was bound and thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be now the somewhat compulsory weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Pharisees knew from Jesus' teaching that this remark was directed at them. They knew what was required by the Lord, but instead made life difficult for those who were on the inside. Working as one is not easy for us always in the community. Sometimes we seek to include, exclude, or relate to those of one mind or same mind. There are those for whom extra time is required, and in the words of St. Augustine, patience now, because loving can be hard work. But that is the beauty of the readings today. Even though there are several rebukes and pointed words, this is the same God whose property is always to have mercy. In God acting as one, there is a peaceful way. The most important thing for us in community is to work out which we prefer to do. Can we genuinely join in the wedding banquet and rejoice, using that 16th century understanding of kareti? Again, I say, rejoice. Or will we be left with this question? Will we be the ones who will find ourselves on the altar on the day of judgment because we knew what to do but failed to do it? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.